U.S. Secretary of State Tony Blinken made a surprise visit to Kyiv today as Secretary of Defense Austin and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs met allies in Germany. They unveiled a 20th package of U.S. weapons for Ukraine. And following it all is our Nick Schifrin, who joins me from southern Ukraine. So hello again, Nick. Tell us about these promises made today by Secretary Blinken.
Yeah, Blinken's trip here was the highest profile part of a kind of triumvirate of support by Blinken, by the Secretary of Defense, and by the president, who called allies about Ukraine today. And Blinken traveled to Kyiv by train on a visit that was kept secret until he arrived. And in the center of town, he met Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky in his office and announced a $2.7 billion long-term assistance program to Ukraine and 18 Eastern European allies. And he called this a pivotal moment in the war, reference to Ukraine's counteroffensive in southern Ukraine, trying to reseize that territory occupied by Russia. Blinken called the counteroffensive, quote, effective. And Blinken walked through Irpin, a suburb north of Kyiv, one of the epicenters of horror of this war, where Russian soldiers bound, tortured, murdered, and dumped hundreds of Ukrainian civilians into mass graves. And Blinken called for accountability.
Look at all of these buildings, all civilian dwellings, and at best, it seems indiscriminate, at worst, intentional. Working hard to support your efforts and the efforts of others, because there has to be accountability for those who committed atrocities, those who ordered atrocities.
You heard there Blinken saying that he and the U.S. were supporting Ukraine's efforts to try and hold accountable not only soldiers, Judy, who some of whom have already been found guilty in Ukrainian courts, but also senior Russian officials who, of course, ordered those soldiers to do what they did. But there is still no clear mechanisms, no clear legal route to figure out how to hold those senior officials accountable.
And, Nick, there was also military aid announced by the U.S. today. Tell us about that.
Yeah, whereas Blinken announced a long-term package that will help Ukraine and Eastern Europe over the next few years, this was a 20th package announced by Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin and Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff General Mark Milley as part of a presidential drawdown, as in drawing down U.S. weapons and sending them to Ukraine immediately. And they announced it in Germany alongside their counterparts from 50 countries known as the Ukraine Contact Group. The $675 million announced today includes more artillery to fight especially Ukraine's Eastern Front, where it's made gains in the last couple days. Austin called on allies to increase their military production to fight against a Russia that he said poses a challenge to all of them.
Ukraine is fighting for its life. It's fighting for its sovereign territory and its democracy and its freedom. But the stakes reach far beyond the front lines. They reach us all.
As for that counteroffensive, General Milley was very cautious, saying it was, quote, too early to give a full assessment. Milley said Russia's strategic goals had been defeated, but he did admit that Russia was making, quote, tactical gains in eastern Ukraine, especially in the Donbass, where we do see Russian soldiers slowly, but nevertheless making some progress.
And Nick, finally, there was also a warning from the U.S. today about Russia's occupation of that nuclear power plant at Zaporizhia.
Yeah, absolutely. Secretary Austin called the occupation, quote, deeply reckless and could have grave consequences. Zaporizhia is Europe's largest nuclear power plant, and last winter it provided about 20% of all of Ukraine's energy needs. There are usually six reactors that are on there, but today five of them are off, and the final one is providing electricity only to the plant itself to prevent any kind of meltdown. They call that island mode because the plant is effectively disconnected from the Ukrainian grid. I talked about that and so many of the nuclear fears here with the president of Ukraine's state energy authority, Energoatom, Petro Khotin, in Kyiv yesterday.
Petro Khotin, thank you very much. Welcome to the News Hour.
Thank you for having me.
How concerned are you today about the risk of a nuclear disaster?
I'm very concerned about the operation of the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant. And actually, we have very severe situation in there because we do not have any connection of the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant to the Ukrainian grid. All lines which connect the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant to the grid are damaged at the moment, so there is no electricity coming in or out of the plant.
Is the Russian goal, you believe, to disconnect the plant from the Ukrainian grid and redirect the power from Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant into Russia?
It was actually their original goal when they started all this shelling, and now they achieved this goal. The plant is completely disconnected from Ukrainian grid.
Can you fix the lines that go from the power plant to the rest of Ukraine?
Yes, we are trying to do that, and not all lines can be repaired at the moment because some of them are under heavy shelling. This is the question of negotiations between military commanders from Ukrainian side and from Russian side.
How important do you believe is it that the output of the plant get repaired before the winter?
This plant is very important for us, and actually 7 months ago we operated all 6 units during winter period. So if we don't have the plant in winter, then it will be a very severe period for Ukrainian energy system.
Has Russia already severed all of the lines that go into the plant to provide the plant electricity?
All lines at the moment are broken. This is viable for the plant to survive, actually. For cooling of nuclear material, and it is to be cooled constantly. You cannot just stop cooling for 1 minute or for 2 minutes. It should be cooled all the time.
That's basically what happened in Fukushima. The plant lost a source of electricity.
It was like an earthquake at Fukushima, and they lost all external power supply, like it is at Zaporizhzhia right now.
Right now, the plant's only source of power is one of its own reactors.
Right.
Is that sustainable?
As far as I know, it is the first time in the history this type of reactor is operated in such a mode.
The bottom line is that it is not sustainable, right? Between generators or this reactor providing its own electricity, it's just not designed to do that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
When Mr. Grossi was being led around on the power plant, we saw an official from Rosatom being the tour guide, essentially. What's the presence of Russian civilian officials and what are they doing?
There are about 10 to 15 persons. They're like spies who does not understand anything in nuclear, and this is just crazy situation completely.
Let's talk about the physical risk to the plant. The plant is built to withstand a lot of physical damage, but are you concerned about the physical damage from military action actually creating a spread of radiation?
This type of reactor is to withstand even airplane which is coming. But still, if you do it intentionally and continuously, if you have these intentions in your crazy mind and your crazy head, then you can finally actually break everything, every protection.
But do you believe that's what Russia wants to do, or no? It wants to keep the plant intact in order to redirect the output to Russia.
Yeah, if they want to blackmail all the world. Right now, we more or less understand what they want. They want just to ruin our economy. The second is to reconnect it to their system. That is their goals.
Petro Kotin, thank you very much.
Thank you.